I know I'm after you. John Rowe already went?
No, he's not here yet.
Oh, well, the show just started.
I think he's at fucking Mag's tonight.
Okay.
On the Elysian Fields and shit. It's Highway Diary episode 128. Chilling with my main homie, LR and shit.
Right, right.
Walking away from the La Nuit.
Right.
Wondering when we're getting up.
Right.
It ain't easy for a pimp at an open mic.
No. It's hard. Yeah, it's hard for us.
So, let's just jump right into it.
Okay.
I first remember seeing you at the House of Blues.
Right.
And I remember thinking, like, you know, think you missed the meeting.
Outside of Siberia.
Outside of Siberia.
When you were doing your podcast the first time, I showed up way too early. And you was, like, sitting on the porch. We were on Elysian Fields. That's how we met, you and I.
We met at Siberia. And then the next day, I see you at the House of Blues.
And that started our conversation.
And I saw you, you missed the meeting and stuff. And then you kind of talked back. There were some words exchanged. It seemed like you were banned for a period of time.
About 2 weeks.
You were banned for 2 weeks. But I told you on the phone, I was like, come back. Mm-hmm. Go back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they banned you for 2 weeks.
Right.
Go back on the third fucking week. And show that, hey, you know, it's a 2 week ban, it's not a forever ban. So I'm gonna come back and I want this.
Yeah, and we did it. It was actually a culmination of things. When you sent me that
text. Do you wanna turn this way?
Or when you sent me that that text.
That
text, man, about remember when I was asking you about locations and times, you were like, man.
Yeah,
this and that. You were like, man, I can't hold your fucking hand. And I told you what I told you, but I had to think about it. It wasn't that I needed you to hold my hand, shit. I had no fucking clue to where to go. I just knew I had this thing inside me that I wanted to get out on stage. You know what I'm saying? So that day, I appreciate what you done. I really did, brother.
Because you asked me what the exact address of the La Nuit Comedy Theater is, and I said to you, I already texted you the website. Look it up.
Right.
And I was trying to, I do this sometimes. I'm not trying to be mean, but I want to shake a comic up. Like, hey, like, you know, when I first came here, I didn't have a car and I would take the fucking bus, you know? And so I would have to know 2 hours ahead of time, okay, Siberia, sign up 8:30. Let me like take a shower at 6:30. Let me get on the 55 bus at 7:10. Let me look at my jokes from 7:10 to 8:30. I was already there. I did all my research. I made a schedule for myself, like a sociopath,
mm-hmm.
because I wanted something, you know?
Right.
And so when another comic is like, text me the exact address, I'm like, nobody told me what the fucking address was. I found it, you
mm-hmm.
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of type of thing. So I didn't want to, like, give you a lecture, but I did kind of want to rattle your cage a little
bit. Yeah, yeah. Mission accomplished. You see where we are today. Now, if you see me, I altered some of your blueprint because I was getting more bang for my exposure, but you led me to...
Let's sit this way.
Yeah, but
I'm saying we got your face.
Yeah, I was getting more bang for my exposure, but you led me to a different awakening because I also was trying to get into acting class. So when you led me here, it opened up doors for me. So
you've been performing improv comedy. At Dat Dog, at Hard Rock.
Yeah, I've been on some movie sets, and brother, bow your head, take some credit for that. That text message ushered all of that.
I can't take all the credit.
No, I ain't saying take all of it, but I want the world to know, all comedians, all professionals, whether you want to be a doctor, a street sweeper, if somebody gives a fuck enough to fuck you like fuck off, but still give you the information. It's almost like it's being passive aggressive, but you should take that, you know, because a lot of people sometimes their biggest downfall is themselves. They can't take harsh words. They're too soft, and in this life, tough skin is the best skin, I think. Mm.
You were just at the Kim Patton just working. You were just at the Sunday Roast Battle at the La Nuit, the July show.
Yeah, your host, the one you're the host of.
I remember, yeah, that's right. And you battled Christian.
Yeah.
And I told you like a month in advance because I want you thinking about it. I want you writing and stuff like that.
I'm about to make you laugh.
So how was it?
I thought about it. I actually studied him by joining his class.
That's right. You got tight after that.
Yeah. I done been on movie sets with him. I done been to every damn show with him. So without trying to divulge information, he gave it up to me. So I knew. But the worst thing I could have done was found some type of love for the man, because he goes extra hard for teaching us how we do it. So 2 hours before the show, I was like a little fucked up. I was like, man, fuck, I got to destroy somebody that I'm becoming fond of. That's like me trying to tear you down. I wouldn't want to do that anymore.
But if as a joke writing exercise, yeah. You know what I mean? Because it means something as friends as comics, and it's not like you're trying to, it's not like boxers where one person's getting knocked out and no matter how you dice it, there's going to be hard feelings about that KO. You
right.
Because that really sucked for that dude that got knocked out
right,
when
right.
his family was watching him at Madison Square Garden. You right. know what I mean? So there's going to be some hard feelings. But at the same time, I think, you know what I mean? It's not really about that. We can act a certain way off stage, on stage, and be professional off stage, which is what I'm trying
I'm about to make you laugh. 2 hours before the show, I had draw a complete blank. I had froze. I didn't know what to say. All the stuff that I had prepared. So actually, I went to Christian and I told Christian, I said, man, I'm drawing blanks. So you just walk and I'm going to follow you. So whatever which way he was going, I got this from a book, if you don't mind me explaining this.
Please do.
It's called a book called If Tomorrow Never Comes. And it's about a lady from here. And she just so happened was on some Siberia carnival cruise type thing. And she was playing the Russian champion of the world. And she beat him. And she explained later in the book how she beat him. She beat him by playing every move she made. You know, every move he made, she made. So it was just like wherever Christian went, I was going to go with it. But my job at that point was to overdo. So he went after my clothes, and everybody know he's like a shitty dresser. So he made it really easy for me.
Uh huh. He was wearing like a plaid shirt and like track pants.
Track pants with some Skechers.
With a flannel shirt on. That's not working.
No.
He's giving you a leg up the ladder.
Yeah. But he also shout out to Christian Leather. He also did something else for me. 2 weeks before the show, he said, "Now I want you to go watch Dean Martin roast." And I was watching the Dean Martin roast, but they was roasting Jackie Gleason. But this one particular guy, he roasted him with intelligence. So if I'm ever invited to another roast, I think that's the route I'm going to take. I'm going to roast with intelligence. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I can't desecrate a person like that. You know what I'm saying? Now, when I'm on stage, I can make a pure ass of myself, because like you said with the boxing and the KO, it won't be no hard feelings because I did this to myself.
Right, right.
But man, there's thousands of us out here, so those roast battles are very therapeutic.
How do you feel about comedy? Did comedy save you in a weird way? Do you feel like you needed some kind of focus in your life? Like, just starting to do comedy out of the blue, 5 nights a week, that's a big decision. So where did that come from?
What happened was the rap music and the hip-hop thing passed me by. I wanted to be a doctor, went to Tulane, decided I didn't want to do that anymore.
How long were you there?
18 months. Two years. Oh, my bad. I get you right. 2 years. 2 years. I got to my sophomore year. And halfway through my sophomore year, I let it go. I don't regret it. But the rap had passed me by, but all of my friends and people that I know was kept pushing me to be on stage, because actually comedy is like the least thing that I do. One day, as the podium gets bigger, you'll be able to see exactly what I needed this for. A lot of my poetry, too. I was able to win poetry contests across the country. So the comedy thing became almost as if, though, I could break everything that I ever hurt me in my life, and now I could tell about it and make it funny. So the comedy was almost as if, though, I hate to say this, but it was a God-given. I don't hate to say it, but it was a God-given. Like, it saved my life. Because now the city is full of stages wanting to listen to people tell jokes. So if I be good at this stage, and I might get invited to do another stage.
There's something very powerful socially about being the only person in the room who's allowed to talk and making people laugh.
Right.
It feels really intoxicating.
Right.
It's very addicting.
Right.
And that's why, I mean, I do it 5 nights a week.
Yeah.
I did fucking 3 shows on Tuesday.
Right.
You know what I mean? People were not at all the shows I performed at, but I performed at 3 shows, is what I'm saying.
It's about the exercise, man. Kobe Bryant said he shoot 1,000 jump shots. Mike Tyson used to do 2,000 push-ups, sit-ups.
I want to give a shout-out. You know who also did them? Jason Dormady.
Okay.
I just want to give a shout-out. I think John Rowe was at all of them, too, but...
I'm getting there. I'm... Just let me get there. A lot of things... The hardest thing for a comic, no matter where he at, is he gotta know. He gotta know. And I think you understand what I'm trying to say. I'm stuck when I'm saying he gotta know. He just gotta know. He gotta know that this is what he's gonna do.
What's up? You wanna jump in here, homie?
Come on, man. Come get some of this.
Kyle Smith
in the building.
He is always lurking around when I'm doing podcasts.
I see you guys over here. I had to come over. Look at that. That's magic. Come on. I had to come over.
Can I see some of this?
Yes, man. Take some. I've just realized that I've had way too much, and I'm expressing it to everybody to let everybody know how I feel about me having way too much right now. This right here, it's just a medium, but it's overdoing it. Little kidneys. Tiny guy.
So, well, you can't drive for a while.
No, I can drive. I'm still capable of driving. I'm just saying, at this point in time, I'm good. I don't need nothing else.
He's good.
Like, I'm at a steady pace right now.
Okay.
Any much more, fuck me up.
Okay, hey, yeah. Speaking of doing some fun things,
I want to see you a bunch of more times. We got to go to the top together.
Please, lastly, I don't want to go to jail no more.
Speaking of fun things that are going to happen, like jail, you know. Prison sentences,
yeah.
Wrapping your car around a pregnant lady, some other fun things that are going to happen.
Wow.
We are doing some Muay Thai tomorrow morning, and we're doing a podcast.
I could probably do some tumbling also.
Some tumbling?
I feel tumble-like.
What is that?
If we're going to be tumbling, flipping, since they're going to be doing martial arts, I'm pretty sure you can do some tumbling in there. I need to get that back.
I'll do some backhand springs.
We're with it then.
Not backhand springs. I can do a round off. I can do a hell of a round off.
Yeah.
I'm not going forward or
back.
That's
all you need. Fuck. You can fucking put your legs straight and you can have a cartwheel. There you go. Two of them.
I can do that.
Well, you're all right then.
I can do a front flip and a back flip and a 360 front flip on
standing?
A trampoline.
Standing? Oh, on a trampoline. Now, when you can do it standing, that's when it gets
a 360 front flip is pretty fucking cool.
That is
I'm
true.
Too motherfucking fat to flip. I roll.
I fuck that. Nah, I can get you into flipping if you really want to.
You gotta know you wanna do it.
I taught a guy how to fucking... I knew a dude that was as big as you doing full twist and shit. Now, I thought that was impossible when I saw it. But he was a good 2+. And I was like, damn.
The mind, once you program it to do something, it's going to do what you tell it to do.
What are you programming yourselves, audience? What are you programming yourselves to do? Are you trying to be a super soldier, trudging through your hours in a day with a fucking fire in your belly, with a silver star in the distance? And are you chopping down the forest on your way there with your machete, your fucking blood, sweat, and tears? Or are you watching reality shows and eating cheese doodles?
Fuck reality shows.
What are you doing with your life? I've been on both sides of that coin.
Hey, let me bless y'all with something, a rare thing that I don't ever tell anybody.
Okay.
He said a double-minded man is wicked in all his ways, so he can't find rest unless he lays in the grave. Misery won't let him sleep till he becomes its slave. So he smokes on a pipe to speed up the decay. Hope he finally takes the blast that'll take him away, cause he can't find the light in the catacombs of his heart. So every day he takes his life and try to break it apart, try to figure out where it went wrong and where it all starts. After years of soul searching, the ride comes to an end. It's time to make a decision then. Only cowards drown on purpose, soldiers try to swim. And when they fail, they go to God and ask to do it again. So he holds on a little longer, faithfully trying to manage through this long summer. But winter's coming and he don't want to freeze. But it's hard to stay warm when your roof is the goddamn trees.
Ooh. bitch. That's what that needed right there. That fucking right in my night. I enjoyed all of that just now. Oh, shit. Fucking right.
How we gotta top that? We gotta stop fuck. Now. For we shit. Let them know what the fuck was up.
Please let them know. I mean, motherfuckers need to wake up. Nigga, I watched School Days the other day. It didn't make no sense towards the end, but they was telling everybody to wake the fuck up. I was like, yeah, well, I guess that's what niggas need to do. We need to wake the fuck up, but I don't know what that had to do with the movie.
But what's the dream? What's the dream? What are people...
This is my question.
Are people brainwashed by a culture?
And then what, right? And then what? Nigga, if they wake up, what are they going to wake up to? They don't know what they're waking up to or supposed to do when they do wake up.
That's the reason why one of us got to be Neo, one of us got to be Morpheus, and one of us got to make keys.
Ah. There you go. Oh, I like that. I like that. Nigga, the hunter's the monkey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because once they wake up, they're going to want to fight. Little kids are sociopaths. That's why you got to teach them everything. Because if not, they'll grow up to be so selfish that they'll hurt anybody for their own way.
Like the ones that grow up without a father. Not all of them.
I'm gonna tell you my angle where we should start. Here we go.
You know
the big old thing about man created, you know, God created man in his image. That's a lie. Man created God in his image. And I'm going to tell you why.
Oof, that's deep to say, man.
Man, hey, man, it's the truth. Pure evidence. Because if man created God in his image, if God created man in his image, then why every picture of God looks like a man? How do we know what God looks like?
That's true. That's everybody else's rendition of looking at it, though. Mm-hmm. What they would depict as God. Because
the old white
like.
Men were like, make it look like me. Mm-hmm.
No. That old white man was right. What happens is, in all forms of history, there's a hierarchy and there's a beginning. What I did find out, the dinosaurs was here. No
Ooh,
doubt.
Yeah.
Who killed them all?
Tell a whole old head that they won't believe it. They don't know how they got here.
I know, because they're stuck on stupid.
Uh-huh.
Who killed them all? I'm talking about after
besides
the...
Besides the media?
Yeah.
Besides the media killing them all?
Yeah.
Who sent the media?
No. That's too far and for metaphysics.
Okay.
Let's stay on Earth. Let's stay with what we call carbon data. Mm-hmm. But what carbon data could backs us up. Let's, like, you know, rings on a tree. Okay. Okay, let's say the thing after 65 million years, the mammoths, the fucking saber-toothed tigers. Humans was about this big. We invented titans. Who killed the titans? Why all the titans always look like monsters? Why all the cave paintings always have big old-ass animals with little bitty people fighting sticks?
Well, people were a lot smaller back then.
Yes, they were. Not to be fucking facetious, uh-huh. But you was the average size man.
Yeah, I was the average size man. Yes,
yes,
me.
Yes.
Very, very stocky, thick bones.
Yes.
Heavy. I was like 5'3", 2-something, 215.
You ever seen in African pictures where they standing over the elephant with the big gun? Oh, the famous picture of all. Not Franklin, Teddy. With the motherfucking fig like the Captain Morgan shit on the elephant. Once man finally got a grip on how to kill those bigger, he became God. But what was next? Huh? What was next? See, if we demystify the whole God thing and humanize it, then it'll all make sense. That I'm going back to your fossil fuel. Your people are some of the most. You gotta fucking respect them.
You got that
them.
Breathing.
Huh?
Keep going.
You gotta respect them. But when it comes to the word like diabolical, they're not
diabolical.
That.
Diabolical.
They're not that.
Word. That's a word for you.
They're not that. They're not diabolical. They're scientific. They have found a way to march into every element as the ant. Oh, yeah, man. Go ahead. Go ahead.
All right, go on stage, Kyle Smith.
Hey, it's been nice, man. All
right, yeah. Buddy.
Keep preaching your shit, son. All right, Eric. I'll be back.
But I learned to adamant respect for all people, but I realized that if we humanize the way we look at the world around us, we can become more powerful. We have become complacent on things. Now, that's where I tie it in at, because we created something. All of us did. We like in the movie Lord of War, when the father said, and you told me to never use movie references. And every time I see people using movie references, I don't do it. you know.
I just think that if you say a movie and then
it better be a blockbuster.
78% of the people haven't seen it.
Yeah. It's 2015. You know what I mean? Why would you reference Independence Day? Who's gonna remember that?
Yeah. And also, if you record a special saying this was the movie, when people see it 20 years from then, they're not going to have any idea what you're talking about.
Right.
In my opinion. I don't know. Right. I would like to record a special and it not be such a time capsule that's aggravating to future generations. You know what I mean?
Well, you can't. Well, all right. You'd have to be like Star Wars. No matter how many times you watch the original. You still get, to me.
Yeah.
I still get that feeling like, ooh, that's Luke about to get his arm chopped off. Even though you know what's about to happen, you still get that, move out the way, motherfucker. You still want to hope that the scene changes.
But even if he wins, he's going to chop his dad's head off. Whoa. He's lucky to lose a hand, maybe. They gave him a robot hand that looked pretty good.
Right. Speaking on when you be clowning Caitlyn Jenner, I'm gonna tell you something that you made me think about. Like I'm deep into the Dyson groups and all of the little smart people shit. I'm deep into that. You know, they said like the travel from Earth to Mars is 9 months, and the most difficult part about it is the isolation and the mindset of people. Don't you know, if I was in NASA, I would consider the Caitlyn Jenners. Why? Because it takes a mind either so twisted or so determined or so focused for a person to alter their entire anatomy to do something as if though they were not born at something. She don't want to have sex with a man as if though she was a woman. She want to have woman sex with a woman as if though she's a woman. Who better to sin but a person who could think about it? Because if I don't know, I don't have to send a man or a woman. I could send a man who wants to be a woman. I could send three of them.
Oh. Caitlyn Jenner's Jesus?
No. In Mars, she will be. She'll be God.
In Mars?
Yeah. Whatever planet you send them people and they start a repopulation, that's who's going to be God.
Mars is going to be a planet of attention whores.
I guess they're going to
have
a lot of satellites. I guess everybody's going to be on Facebook. Mars book.
Oh, yeah.
Mars book.
They're all going to be like, girls, we got our Gucci. Anyway. I'm more beautiful and popular than anyone else. Let's comb our hair in the mirror together, girls. One, two.
But that's where we're going. That's where we're going. That's the reason why us comedians are so. We're like, what's the dude name who do the comedy spinoff of the news?
Jon Stewart.
Jon Stewart. Mm-hmm. Pure genius when you think about it, because he takes hold up in there. Facebook is perhaps the purest news on earth. Why? Because if you ain't telling the truth, you're going to have 1,000 motherfuckers trying to dispel you.
Well, the trolls aren't always right. Sometimes the trolls are a bunch of lonely assholes with nothing better to say.
Right.
Except just spewing venom.
Right.
Like dye in a bucket of AIDS.
Right.
Why exactly, troll? Why exactly? Cite sources. Don't just spew nonsense. Have points that are salient and make sense. That's where real comedians come in. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what separates it.
So us as comedians, it's our job when we're on the stage to give our version of what Jon Stewart does. So, you know, you might tell a certain joke.
See you tomorrow.
You performed already?
Yeah, I'm going to Mags.
All right, 10 a.m., homie.
Where's Max?
Mags on Elysian Fields, just south of St. Claude. It's just south of Siberia, on the southbound side of Elysian Fields, on the right there. Mags, 12 o'clock on Fridays. I haven't been there yet. I think I'll go there next week. Jay Potter runs that show.
I gotta get me a... Well, that ain't for the radio. That's between me and you. But anyway,
What? A side piece?
Yeah. Nah, you know, everything ain't for the... Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got you.
Some things are... But yeah, man, there's Nola Comedy Theater. It's a good spot. But that Mag sound like it's hot. You need to check it out.
Yeah, man. Let's give a shout out to all the other shows. People working Howard in town.
Right.
Show tonight at 8:30 at Dragon's Den every Friday. It's a good show. Go check it out.
Dragon's Den, where is that?
That's right at Elysian Fields in Decatur.
Okay. You went there tonight?
No. That's a book show.
Oh.
I would love to get booked there. I'll book you guys. Let's have a good time being friends.
I could get in a lot of legal trouble if I don't tell you shit's recording when it's recording, homie. You were telling me you had a professor from Connecticut that changed your life that was a UNO professor.
I wouldn't even say he was a professor. He was a student just like you.
Yeah.
He was down here for communication. They had a rap battle at the fellow college down the street, SUNO.
Mm-hmm.
And I won the best for my area. It was him and another guy that went here.
It's your seatbelt.
Yeah, it was him and another guy that attended this school. And what happened was they started a little record company. And I got picked as one of their first artists, me and two other guys from New Orleans. Well, they had a falling out about music direction. Now, the white boy was over, his name Ryan Moran. I got pictures of him. He was over the music. Randy McBride was over the business. Hindsight, I should have went with Randy for the business goes, because he turned out to make some money, but not very much. But what I got from going with Ryan was a whole nother life. What happened was I got into trouble that summer. I met them that winter. I got into trouble that summer. Almost lost my freedom for years. And his father came and talked to the judge, because he went up there and was so impressed with me. He went and talked to his father. His father came and told my mother, like, if you give him to me, I could change him. And he told the judge the same thing. So the judge said, okay, we're going to let him go. He get in any trouble, you in trouble too. So when I got the first place we went was New Bedford, Massachusetts. That was my very first winter there. And
you ever seen snow before?
Oh, yeah. I spun mad winters in Chicago. My grandmother was a traveler, so I went everywhere with her. He put a motherfucking rake in my hand. He said, look, now I'm not going to jail for you. But I believe with your brains, you could have a second chance. And from that point forward, he taught me how to be a responsible man. And he realized that my hustle would allow me to rake grass and sell drugs. It didn't matter, as long as I was doing something to make money. So he recognized that I wasn't a lazy person, so he kept me, and then he taught me shit. So we came into some money. We got in a car accident. So he wouldn't let me or Ryan, because now at the time, we 20 and 21. He's older than me. He took our money. He took our money from the accident and bought us a house and made us work to pay for the rest. So we paid for it. By the time we was 26, we had to pay for it because it was both of us paying the same amount. So we always have somewhere to live.
Now, what happens? You rent out you have a house in Connecticut you rent out?
No, my brother got married and had a whole bunch of kids. I just got a room there now. You know, in the I got the whole basement.
Oh, so your brother paid for the other half of it.
No. As just my brother, Ryan. He's white boy. I call him my brother because I call him my brother because his dad adopted me. Right. You understand what I'm saying? He legally adopted me, so he's legally my brother.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Imagine me going to a Roman Catholic church with all these gold teeth in my mouth. We was young. So
you had those gold teeth when you were young?
Since I was 14. So that whole experience with them. Now, this is how the house went. We bought the house. When my brother got married, I was working in Mississippi in the shipyards, building ships. You know what I'm saying? When he got married, I just like, you know, y'all keep the house. Because I introduced him to his wife. She's one of my friends that I knew before he knew her in Connecticut. And she's a white girl. Because he used to go with black girls all the time. And I had to stop that because they used to fuck over him. I said, man, just go with your own kind, bro.
How did the black girls fuck over
man,
your brother Ryan? What happened?
Man, they used to beat on him and shit.
Beat on him?
Yeah.
They beat the shit out of him?
What?
What? For real? He would come home from a black eye and be like, what's that? And he's like, Taniqua got angry. I didn't have dinner on the table. That's what happened?
It's funny you should say that, but that's closer to the fucking truth than anything else. I'm sitting up here like, damn, were you there?
Yeah, he was slow with those dinners.
Yeah, he was. But the thing I knew about him, he was a real gentleman. And at the time, the girls he was picking wasn't gentlemen.
They weren't ladies.
Yeah, they weren't ladies. Let's put it like that.
There were some ratchet bitches.
Ratchet bitches. So I always had this thing, if you're going to race jump, don't go get the trash.
Right.
Don't go do the trash. If you're going to go fuck with a black girl, don't go get the girls. Don't go get the trash. Don't go get the trash.
He was just blinded by the booty, I guess.
Yeah, he was just blinded by the booty.
We've all been there.
But, like, his daughter is named after me. They named her after me.
They named her LR?
No. Nah, she got my middle name. Eugenia is her name. My middle name is Eugene. My name is Genesis Eugenia. She's definitely afraid of me. I don't know why. Slade is not, but she is. But I don't know.
How old is she?
She should be 6 now.
All right. Well.
No, because, you know, she's my niece. So when I go see her, you know, I be wanting to play with her. She be looking at me like, I really got a black man in my family. That's how she looks at me, like, this is big black motherfucker.
Does she hang out with any black people in Connecticut?
Yeah, man. Let me tell you. The black and white thing in Connecticut is nothing like the South, man. You know, if you go up to Wallingford or North Haven, then, yeah, you're going to get a lot of that. You know, that type of racism. Up 90, you know. Up Middlesex and Germantown and all that bullshit there. But once you get to, like, Hartford, New Haven, West Haven, you good. You know, Norwalk, you good.
Right.
New London, you good. So, you know, that's the reason why we could do business at a whole nother level, because I understand East Coast white people.
There's not much to get.
Oh no! If you could get past the arrogance, you probably fucking good. And I don't think y'all arrogant on purpose. It's just shit. This city is fast to people who slow. If that makes sense.
Right.
You know, if you live any extensive time in inner city LA or the CBD LA or New York City, this is snail pace.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
This is very snail paced.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? But if you only been like the Houston or Atlanta, this is probably overdrive. You know what I'm saying?
Atlanta slower than New Orleans?
Fuck no. Fuck no.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's just Atlanta don't. Atlanta's like the New York of the South, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I do got a bit of an ego on me, but I think you have to. Every time you go up on stage, you got to be like, even in the back of your head, like, if I'm not the funniest motherfucker today, maybe a year down the road, I'll be the funniest motherfucker ever. You know what I mean? Like, it takes a certain thing to be like, no, everybody shut up. I'm the only one who gets to talk right now because I'm funnier than everybody. Like, just the act of doing stand-up is arrogant. And to have ambitions towards it is the next level. You can't do it for yourself. Well, it's kind of both. It's like you want to do it to prove something, but also you kind of want to just give a good performance, too. You want to make sure the audience has a good time, you know?
Right. Well, a lot of times, put it like this. Me and you can make a whole lot of money if we just understand why we need each other.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? The mere fact that I'm from here, but I got an understanding of where you're from. Put it like this. I ain't gonna even tell you no lie. With our ideas and your face, we could make it.
My face? Yeah. I'm the face? Hey. I thought it was the brains.
Nah.
I've never been the face in a
Yeah, but in this instance, your complexion could get you places that mine can't.
Oh. Like where? What do you mean?
Shit. Let's just keep working and you'll see.
Okay.
Put it like that. Bureaucracy is a motherfucker, brother. Yeah, but at the same time, as far as arrogance goes, I got it too, because I'm from a part of New Orleans called the Night Ward. And we were always like Brooklyn. We was always like considered the dirty, ratchet people. So yeah, our fucking attitudes are fucked up. My attitude is fucked up because, man, I'm a fat dude, man, in New Orleans, man. I'm a fat black man in America, man.
Yeah. But I got a lot of friends from the Ninth Ward. You saw my friend Vidal Luazo and Val Luazo. You saw him. He's from the Ninth Ward. Last night at the front of the line, we recorded a little segment. He might come out. I told him, listen, he asked me for a ride too, right when you asked me for a ride. And what did I tell him? I said, listen, I'll give you a ride home, you know, and I want to be like, now the test is on him. Does he show up? We'll see. And the, you know, so you got to test little people, because it's like, yeah, it would be easy for me to start with comedy if I had a ride both ways every single time. But I know the first year, you helped me out with some rides. Byron helped me out with some rides. Thomas Jones, John Rowe helped me out with some rides. But a lot of the time, I took the bus there and back. A lot of the time.
L-A-U-N?
Pardon?
L-A-U-N? Where we going? I can't pronounce the word that well. Where the comedy L, you took the bus a lot to the theater up here?
Yeah, I took the fucking 55 to the 16th, the La Nuit. Yeah.
Okay.
So I took, well, I would take it there, and then someone would give me a ride back usually. Okay. Like Thomas would give me a ride home or something like this. Or.
And he lived way the fucking boutique.
Yeah.
You ever been to his house?
I haven't.
Man, he lives an hour away.
Right.
At least 35 minutes, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
He's a good dude. I like him.
Yeah, Thomas Jones is such a sweetie.
that's some choice words for a man, but okay.
You know what I'm saying. Yeah, he's a big sweetie.
Yeah.
How can you ever be mad at Thomas Jones? Nah, he's so nice.
Yeah, he's a good kid.
But you know what I'm saying? So you know, when someone asked me for a ride, like, you know, yeah. The first time he did a set, it was at Siberia. I gave him a ride there and back. Second time he did a set ever was La Nuit. I gave him a ride there and back. Then he's asking the next day on Saturday for a ride back. I was like, I'll give you a ride back. You know what I mean? At a certain point, you got to pull up the fucking...
All right,
rope bridge and see if they still grab up and climb up and see if you see them there in the fucking treehouse.
Let me explain something to you about the New Orleans man. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Very few of us. You can light a match under our tail and it makes sense. Like you saw it immediately with me.
Yeah.
Because I have a different advantage. How can I say this without being fucked off? You're in a city where if you give too many handouts, they're gonna expect it.
Yeah.
This is a welfare city.
Right.
And I don't know the guy that to put him in that situation, but even if you offered gas money or something, make it more, you know. But that's just how my people are, brother. We'll use you to fuck up if you let us. But that's with anybody. White, black, red. I got some white cousins that'll make you think God they was dipped in black or something. Fuck that, fucking crazy, man. Like, fuck wrong with you? You supposed to be white, you know, act like that. Right. But they do so.
Yeah, so I'm very careful, and I just know how much effort I put in when I started. I wanted it. I transferred buses twice a fucking week, you know, to get to La Nuit. And I would get there at 10:15 before everybody, because that's when the fucking bus dropped me off. So I would hang out, I would look at my jokes. You know, it sucked. And so if somebody can't make it there like I did, I'm not really interested anymore. You know what I mean? I can't... Yeah, it's like, oh, you got a personal chauffeur? Yeah, it's not so fucking hard to be good to open mics. You don't have that, it's a different ball game. So let's see. So that's all I'm saying. I'm not talking no shit on no foul, but when I like him and I like.
Man, we just keeping it real. Cause listen.
But that's what it is. How deep is your hustle?
How deep is your hustle?
And if I have to like drive somebody there and back every single time, then it's like I'm getting dragged down because that's hours out of my day. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We have a different understanding, so it's like, you know what I mean? You're at the level where you're working for, at the La Nuit, you're cleaning up the La Nuit, you know what I mean? We're all trying to be in this collective together, right. But someone brand new, you know what I mean? Like,
he got to earn his way. I had to earn mine.
Exactly.
Shit, these guys ain't used to talk to me at all.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I had to keep showing up. I got that blueprint from you. But at the same time, I'm looking at it like the group of guys that we got, and we could just, you know, I'm talking about the Friday night, Saturday night group, but we could just get together and do some, like, sharp plays or something, some short shots. I think we could be all right, because we got some talent.
Yeah, man, the, like, video and sketches. The problem is, like, I did Here Comes Godot. Anyway, shout out herecomesgodot.com. Check out Here Comes Godot. It's a web series I did with my homies, you know what I mean? And I did that, I don't know, in 2010, 5 years ago. It took us 4 years to edit it, you know?
Oh, that took but 4 years.
It's, well, because the project got stalled, yada, yada, yada. But we spent 5 years on one project, and we have not made one dime from it yet. And right now we're putting it into festivals and stuff, but it's like, I'm not sure how, like, I have another meeting, a Skype meeting with my Here Comes Godot guys on like, a couple Mondays from now. We're going to, you know, regroup and try to find out, try to give it another festival push.
So what that mean, Here Comes Godot?
Here Comes Godot. There was a play called Waiting for Godot. And then I played a theater director who was putting on a production of Waiting for Godot. And then the whole point of it is you're waiting, waiting, waiting. He never shows up. But I decide that I'm going to cast Godot. And I just, like, change the whole play. And I'm a real egomaniac sociopath, you know, theater director. So it's just a ridiculous thing. But anyway, it's like, you know, producing that, putting it together, and you know, spending lots of money on it and still waiting for a return, you know, I'm not sure how. I don't know. I kind of focus my situation on stand-up right now.
Not interested in that? Are you guys a couple?
Yes, yes.
Oh, that's very beautiful. Who gets BF? Do you guys 69 exclusively? Exclusively? Does anyone play, can you play Xbox during the 69?
I struggle with FIFA on 69.
Yeah? You're like still like killing it in Brazil. You're like, I'm Brazil. I got Pele. I'm taking this comp shot. Boom. Check it out. I beat everybody. And then he just falls asleep, and then his penis literally falls out of your mouth, and you're still playing?
I'm not going to stop.
You shouldn't. You're American. And we work long, long hours.
We're continuing the podcast with LR. We're driving him home. We just did the La Nuit on a Saturday night. Good crowd.
Good crowd.
We hung out.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you think you did? What's going on? What did you learn from tonight, LR?
I learned from tonight is make sure you're in a good place in rotation.
Were you in a bad place tonight?
Yeah, I opened up the second half after the break and no one came back.
You had no crowd.
I had no crowd. No crowd. No crowd is actually worse than a pack house. Five people is more intimidating than 500.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
500 people are there for a comedy show.
Yeah.
You know you got to bring it right now.
Right. You got to bring it. But you also get what you pay for.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, if they was paying, we'll have to do better jokes.
Right. So when it's in between five people
and
100,
right,
that's when it's tricky.
Yeah, that's when it's tricky.
What I'm most interested in is your journey in comedy. You know, you're at a certain place now where I feel like you see what's going on.
Right.
It's kind of a different ballgame now than when you were, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so it's
getting banned for 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. It's more or less not even a hustle anymore. It's a career. This is all of the pull, any funds or life out of this. I gotta dedicate myself 100% to it. And it ain't just dedicating yourself running around. Let me tell you something. When I was in the chemical plants, one of my mentors told me something. He said, you see this guy here running around trying to look busy? He said he's just running around looking busy. He's actually not doing anything. And see, that's the problem. Make this right where this truck is coming from. You got a great sense of direction. Well, it redirected you. You can't have no doubts. You can't have no fears. What we're doing ain't no different than a bunch of kids entering medical school. They got thousands of medical schools, hundreds all over the country. Thousands of people enter the program. Not everybody becomes rich off it. You know, just as like anything else. Success is like any other job. You got to apply yourself. And I feel to believe that we're going to be successful. Even if we don't reach the status of a Jamie Foxx or Eddie Murphy, so you got to keep your eyes off other people's stars, and you got to look for your own place in the space. You know.
All right, LR. Well, you're an absolute original. It's good to see you on the journey with me. Right. You know what I mean? We're partners in this situation.
Yes.
That's another episode of Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. Thanks, my guest, LR.
All right, brother. See you later.
All right, buddy.
Thank you. I'll see you Monday morning.
All right, buddy.